Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your official home for Jaguars football. AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio WOKV. Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Loggeman. And Jaguars.com senior editor, Vic Ketchman. Break down the last Jaguars game. And take a look at the next time we take the field. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Aetna. We want you to know the Jacksonville Transportation Group, the official transportation provider of the Jaguars, and by Prudential Network Realty, extremely full service. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome into Jaguars This Week. I'm Brian Sexton, joined by Jeff Loggeman and Vic Ketchman. Joe Fortunato is here as well. Just this programming note, we'll go 2 hours tonight, we'll go 2 hours next Wednesday night, and then that's it for the two-hour version. Starting on January 21st, we go back to the 60-minute version that you have become familiar with here on WOKV over the course of the offseason. So two more two-hour shows, so if you want to fire off tonight, next week, your best opportunity, and then from that point forward, it's a shortened version. Good evening, and Happy New Year. This is the first Wednesday night show that we have done in a couple of weeks, and we're glad to have you with us.
And to you.
Yeah, nice to see you.
It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of, not really.
Well... A year ago at this time, we were getting ready for the divisional round of the playoffs, and you always talk about that. You know, that's the fun time of the year, and it's not here this year.
No, but you know what? From an outsider looking in, you know, at the other games, that was a fantastic weekend of football.
Yeah, yeah.
Does it get any better than that?
The Saturday games were, were out of this world.
Unbelievable, yeah. Except for Atlanta losing.
I was falling asleep during the Colts-Chargers game, and I fought to stay up. Man, was I glad I did.
Mm-hmm.
You could just feel that one coming.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah,
you really
just feel
could.
It coming. Which is rare, because mostly when you watch Peyton Manning, you feel it coming for, you know, for him. You know, you could feel it here that it was coming for him.
No, you knew they were going to lose.
No, no, I know, but it's strange. But when they play San Diego, you know it's coming for them.
Yeah.
But against most every other team, you get the sense that it's going to come for Peyton Manning in that offense, but not against the Chargers.
The only question I have was whether or not the Chargers were going to make up for these goofs, you know, Sproles reaching the ball out and fumbling it on the 1 yard line.
Right.
I mean, it was, you know, could have been the game decider. Antonio Cromartie,
he was walking.
It was he acted out maybe the dumbest play I've ever seen in sports. Turning his back to the ball, to the quarterback, to the offense, and staring at the sideline as Reggie Wayne ran by him for what would have been the game-winning touchdown.
Right.
I mean, just unbelievably
play.
Stupid. So were the Chargers going to overcome their goofs? And of course, they moved on and got the field goal. But the Colts had four opportunities. So people say, well, you know, they lost a coin toss and then they never got the ball. No, wait a minute now. They had the ball four times after that Wayne scored.
Right.
Four scoreless possessions. Four possessions that totaled 20 plays and 38 yards. If you act as though each one of those possessions was your overtime possession, all you got to do is score in one of them and you win the game. So I'm not one of these, let's bring in the college system. I think the NFL overtime sudden death system, especially as it pertains to playoffs, is fantastic. When the official said, "This is a new game," I got chills. And here's the thing that really kills me. The greatest game ever played, that sudden death overtime system gave us the quote, "greatest game ever played." And now you want to change it? You want to play it another way? I mean, if it gave you the greatest game ever played, why would you ever want to change it?
Bill Polian has a long history of getting what he perceives to be playoff injustices against his team changed.
Well, he screwed himself.
I would have paid money to have
on that.
On the illegal conduct.
Yeah.
Contact.
I would have paid money to have a seat behind his in that game. I would have.
Well, for people who don't know, he's very, and we really don't, we just hear the stories because we're in our radio booth. He's very vocal in press boxes.
You know Vic.
You've seen him. Listen, he drives home team PR directors out of their minds by complaining about this thing and that thing. You know, every little thing about the way you conduct your stadium operations is under his is under his review or is under his purview or is critiqued by him, and he calls you, and that guy shouldn't be down there, and there are too many people on the sideline, and you've got to get those awnings down, and one thing after another. If there's one guy in the league that opposing team executives, especially PR directors, like to beat, it's him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it was fantastic. I really enjoyed sitting back and watching. I mean,
it was great stuff.
I thought Atlanta made a heck of a recovery after a really rough start, because when the way they started, you're going, oh boy, they're not going to be able to come back. And darn if they didn't fight back. And I just, from watching that game, I thought if the Falcons got their hands on the ball one more time, they were going to win it.
There's no question in my mind that the rookie Ryan was going to take him right down the field.
I really thought he was.
But what was Keith Brooking doing? Why would you jump the underneath route on a 3rd and 16 and let the deep seam receiver go by?
Bad mistake.
He's a veteran linebacker.
I know.
What in the world was
Pro
he thinking?
Pro Bowl linebacker. I mean, just bad.
He jumps the underneath guy?
By the way, congratulations to Mike Smith.
AP Coach of the Year.
Absolutely. And there are people trying to make the case for John Harbaugh, and he deserves consideration. Same thing for Sperano.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about what he went into, and we all know, he went into a situation where the quarterback, the franchise guy, was in jail.
Oh, there's no other guy. No, yeah. Mike's the guy. Clearly.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other coach quits 13 weeks into it. The whole city has turned their back on him, and now he's got them back. I was at a restaurant on Saturday night with a bunch of guys that were at the bar from Atlanta, and they were all, when they found out what I did, they all wanted to know about Smitty. So congratulations to Smitty.
Did you tell him a lie? That Smith, he was a jerk here.
No. Do you know anybody that could ever say that about Mike Smith?
No,
I can't imagine it. So congratulations to him. Defensive player of the year, and I point this out, James Harrison, 16 sacks, led the league with 7 forced fumbles.
Great player.
On the number one defense, and he was on and off the Steelers and Ravens practice squad as an undrafted rookie.
But that's not the big thing here.
Really?
The big thing here is that the guy sitting next to me, to my left, is the guy who, I don't know if the word is invented him, but certainly identified him. And I'll tell the story. We were preparing, doing our research for a Jaguars game against the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 04, 05. I think it was 04.
It was a game in which Joey Porter was not going to play. And I don't remember, maybe injury.
It was probably the year he got shot. When did he get shot, 05?
Or something. And
that sounds right. I'll have to look it up.
But anyway, he got hurt.
Okay.
Something, he wasn't going to play.
But anyhow, Jeff was looking at their linebackers, and they've always had good ones. And they had a guy on their bench, a reserve guy. I tell you what, it was the 05 season. I can remember now. The game up there, they had a reserve linebacker named James Harrison who played a lot of special teams and did some specialty down stuff for
played
them.
Occasional downs for Joey every now and again.
And I said to Jeff, I made comment about another linebacker. I say, hey, what do you think about that guy? I forget
you,
who.
Well, you made a comment, oh, they're in trouble. They're going to be missing Joey Porter. And I said, oh,
is that what it was?
Oh, no.
No, and you had
they
said.
They may be better off.
But you said, I'll never forget this, you said, James Harrison is their best linebacker. And I thought to myself, he's on the bench.
He thought I was crazy.
It was the first
time. Was on the bench.
It was the same thing when they were missing. There was another Pittsburgh game, and they were going to be missing their nose tackle.
Hampton.
Casey Hampton.
And they played Chris Hoke.
And they had Chris Hoke, and you're like, they're not going to have Casey Hampton. I said, Vic, Chris Hoke's, he's not Casey Hampton, but he's pretty good. And there's one other guy that I remember pointing out to you. And you kind of left Kemo, Van Olhoff. And when you said Pittsburgh signing, they signed Kemo. I said, oh, Vic, they got a heck of a football player. Because I remember watching the Bengals film and watching this guy play, and I was going, holy cow.
Yeah. Well, you sure hit James Harrison on the nose. And that's
he is a bulldog.
Yeah. You
bulldog.
Really, no one wanted him for a while.
This was the year to finally name a defensive player MVP. You had Ed Reed. You had James Harrison. You had Polamalu. Haynesworth would have been a candidate if he hadn't gotten hurt late in the season.
Should have been it last year.
You know, this was the year to do it, you know? So what do? Peyton Manning. Give everything to Peyton Manning.
He had a great
Manning
year.
Manning gets every award. And then the next day he goes out and...
By the way, you understand now that Ed Reed has 3 straight games with 2 picks.
What did he do the next day?
He has... five games
what,
on
end
the
up
season.
With nine?
Regular
season,
11 now, including the playoffs.
Yeah.
He has five games with two picks in the season.
So just make it the MVQ. Don't make it MVP. Make it MVQ.
Porter was out in 03.
It couldn't have been 03. It might have been
03.
It was
03. No, it doesn't go that far back. No way.
It's 03.
Time passes quickly. I think it was 03.
Did the Jaguars play the Steelers in 03?
I don't know.
No.
No, it was the one year they did not play it. But yeah. Porter was probably coming back off of getting shot.
Okay.
Is what you're thinking of.
Whatever it was, it would have been either 04 or 05. I'm sure of that. And
what was the year that Joey Porter went to Miami?
Last year was his first year in
Miami. It wasn't last year.
He went in 07. This year was only his second year. So.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It may not have been him being shot that led to the conversation.
No, I was just taking a shot at that.
Okay, all right. So it may have been something else. But yeah. James Harrison is a tremendous football player. Boy, so too is Ed Reed. I watched him with that return.
I've never seen
67-yarder.
He does things athletically and honestly, you know, as far as body control, I've never seen people
that
do.
Reaching interception that he made in the end zone.
I mean, you name it. I mean, but it's not so much the interceptions that he made in the end zone.
Right.
But it's what he can do to contort his body after he makes the play to avoid contact. He does things that great athletes can't do.
He's finished his seventh season. He has 45 interceptions. Just to put it in perspective, Rod Woodson, right? 17 seasons in the league. After seven seasons, had 30 interceptions. Mm-hmm. This guy's on pace to break Woodson and Jerry Krause. I mean, to be amongst the very best
But Reed's a safety. Woodson was a corner for most of his career.
I know. I'm not trying
corners don't get the interceptions as right. safeties.
But he had a lot of interceptions, I guess, was what I was saying.
Yeah. Paul Krause and Dick LeBeau are in the 70s.
Right.
And they're not. And Krause is finally
81. He has 81.
81, and right. LeBeau's like 76 or something, I guess.
I'm just.
LeBeau's not in, and Krause just got in?
Yeah, Krause just got in. I'm just putting him up there with who I consider to be the best defensive backs to ever play the
game. If they had named Ed Reed MVP.
You couldn't argue with it.
Look how much better it would have looked on Saturday evening, or Sunday night.
Than Peyton Manning.
Yeah. You know what I mean? After Manning laid an egg, and Reed stole the game.
Yeah. We need a break. Let's take it now. We'll return with your calls. 355-NFL-1. You're listening to Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
All right, welcome back to the serious business of off-season football. Jaguars fans, be sure to log on to Jaguars.com and play AMC Theater's Movie of Trivia Challenge for a chance to win free movie tickets and more. Sexton, Logan, and Ketchman, and Joe Fortunato back with us. Nice to have you, Joe. Piece of news, Eric Mangini has been hired as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And
so how many openings do you still have?
Wait.
I'll tally that up while he weighs in.
When was this
23
announced?
And 25, just in the last 10 minutes. Yeah.
Is Paoli been hired?
Paoli?
I don't know. I don't think so. I haven't seen anything on
that. So Mangini got the job before Paoli, which means
so.
That Paoli won't go there.
Won't go there.
Well, why, the Browns have done it again.
Does he like,
the Browns have done it again.
He doesn't like Mangini?
Paoli and Belichick had their split.
It's just the Paoli, that's not
he
it so much as Paoli, yes. That means that Paoli is very likely now to go to Kansas City. Is that
Kansas City's the spot that he is most often associated with other than Cleveland.
Well, let me tell you something. If the Chiefs hire Scott Paoli, and if Herm Edwards is out, would that be a likely thing to happen?
I would think so.
All right. And if they hire the guy Paoli would want to hire, the Chiefs will be back very quickly.
Who would they want to hire?
Kirk Ferentz.
Oh, the offensive, offensive line coach from Cleveland, who's the head coach at Iowa.
The rumor was that Paoli would get the job in Cleveland, and he would hire Kirk Ferentz, right, who is his guy. And I'll tell you right, Cleveland would be ready to roll.
Kansas City,
they've screwed it up again.
Kansas City needs to sell tickets, and Kirk Ferentz right there north of Kansas City and Iowa would bring a lot of
the
people.
The Browns
down.
Don't need to sell tickets. They need to win games.
Yeah, well.
And Paoli and Ferentz, you know, when I first heard that, I thought to myself, uh-oh, watch out, Steelers. Watch out, Ravens. Watch out, Bengals. Because they would be, the Browns would be hell with those two
guys. Am I missing something? I was never that impressed with Eric Mangini when he was the defensive coordinator of the Patriots with all those great talented players.
Well, he might be a very good coach. I'm sure he is a very good coach, but he's a recycled guy, and it's not the same as Pioli and Ferentz. I mean, that is a dynamic duo. Who's going to be their personnel guy now?
They haven't said anything about that.
Good question.
Well, you know, Kansas, it sounds to me like Kansas City's got the jump on Pioli now.
So what do you got openings-wise? Who? What jobs? You got Kansas City.
Detroit is open.
Detroit.
Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I think Spagnuolo is
Oakland is open.
If Cleveland is filled, yep. Oakland, Denver. Well,
boy, you have three openings in the AFC West.
Denver's the best job.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Denver's the best job.
Mm-hmm.
By far.
Did we hit the 10?
Denver, Kansas City, Oakland, Detroit.
Well, Herm Edwards hasn't been fired yet.
No, he's not been hired. I'm sorry. Denver, Oakland, Detroit, the Jets. There's four openings there. St. Louis is interviewing, so there's five.
Yeah.
You have a new coach in Seattle, but Moore had already been
named. Oakland has a new coach.
No, they don't have a coach.
They changed coaches in midseason.
They changed, but they didn't. And I counted that on my list.
If I go up there, I'll bet you we got 10. Like I said, there'd be 10.
From this year?
Back in September, back before the season, right as the season began, I said there'll be 10. 10 jobs lost. 10 new coaches. You know, when the season's over. So I mean, I'll go up there and count it up.
Here's the ones that I mean. Are you talking about the ones that are open right now?
No, I'm talking about, for instance, St. Louis fired Linehan right away.
Right.
And Oakland fired Gruden or not Gruden, but the blonde haired guy, Lane Kiffin. Mm-hmm. All right. I'll go up and count. I'm looking at this board here. I'll count them up.
I have seven.
Wait.
Including St. Louis and Oakland. I've got Seattle, Oakland, Detroit, Denver, St. Louis, Cleveland, and New York.
Don't forget Seattle.
I put Seattle on the list. Yeah, I put Seattle on the list. That was seven. So, you know, 70% is pretty good. Yeah. And, of course, you could get to 80%.
San Francisco's two.
All right, I forgot San Francisco. So
San Francisco's
eight. So you could get to nine if Kansas City fires Herm Edwards.
That's a lot. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, your point is well taken, regardless of the exact number. He's not going to.
Seven, eight.
Got nine.
Eight if you get Kansas City.
No. I don't have yet. Seven.
Okay. Vic Still
this
County.
Is compelling radio.
That and then Denver.
Okay.
Eight. So you got
Kansas
eight.
City
Kansas
nine.
City would be nine.
Right.
That's correct. You don't have your glasses on, do you?
No.
Vic had to get up and get close to the poster that we have of the NFL
Kansas
helmets.
City would make nine.
All right. And if
that's almost
Scott
third
Pioli
of the
goes there, Scott Pioli goes there, it changes. Right now it's 25% of the league. Let's take a break. We will return after the news with more Jaguars this week, only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. I'm Brian Sexton, joined by the senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman. Jeff Loggeman is in this evening, and Joe Fortunato is entertaining your phone calls. Before we went to the break, we gave you the news that Eric Mangini, who had been deposed as the Jets coach earlier at the end of the season, has been hired as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And then this piece of news, Jeff Jedzinski, the Boston College coach, who reportedly is interviewing for that Jets job made vacant when Mangini was fired, has himself been fired by Boston College, has won their division in the ACC each of the last 2 years, but has been sent packing based on his intent to interview.
One of the most compelling sports news stories that I can remember of a long, long time, and the reach of this story, the domino effect of this story. I mean, I've got some real strong thoughts on this. Jeff, go ahead, because I have some real strong thoughts.
I just think, you know whose fault that probably is?
Who?
Rich Rodriguez. College has finally just decided, hey,
we've
had enough. Nick Saban, they just said
Petrino.
No more. Yeah.
You know, along the lines of what you're saying, what you're shooting for if you're a college football program, selecting a head coach. What you're shooting for is you want Paterno or Bowden, all right? You want a guy to stay all those years and never have to worry about losing your coach to another school because it's just understood. This is his program, and he will never coach anywhere else. Now, consider, for instance, poor Cincinnati. University of Cincinnati. They hire Brian Kelly, an up-and-coming coach, 2 years ago. You know, guy really moving up. He has given them whirlwind success immediately.
Orange Bowl, sure.
And he is mentioned for every job that opens, whether it's Tennessee or whatever.
Auburn, yeah, you name
Auburn,
it.
Any of them, right away. Brian Kelly. Imagine the misery, how miserable it is for the University of Cincinnati or any school in that situation. Because what it comes down to is this. Every 3 years, we have to change our coach. Here's why. If we take the shooting up guy, the guy in ascent, and he's successful, we're going to lose him in 3 years. If we pick a guy and he's unsuccessful, we're going to fire him in 3 years. So every 3 years, we're going to change our coach. I mean, it's terrible. Yep. You can't ever have any continuity, any stability. Right. All right. Now, a year ago at this time, I can remember West Virginia beating Oklahoma in a bowl game. And West Virginia celebrating on the sideline by announcing that its interim coach was going to be its new head coach to replace Rich Rodriguez. And everyone said, including me, that's an emotional hire. That's over that guy's, you know, he's not big enough for that job. But I can't help but wonder now, because I'm seeing more of this, is there any chance that West Virginia said to itself, you know, we're getting tired of getting stabbed in the back by the Rich Rodriguezes of the world, who we brought here because he's a West Virginia son and thought that he would be a Paterno, a Bowden.
And for people who are listening, remember now, at the end of his first year at Michigan, he called Clemson before they made Dabo Swinney the head coach.
That's the rumor. That's the rumor. He was ready to bolt from Michigan after one bad year. But I can't help but think, did West Virginia say, you know, it didn't feel good getting stabbed in the back by Rodriguez. Let's give it to this guy. Let's try, because this guy will never leave West Virginia. I mean, if you heard him talk after that Car Care Bowl.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, it's just he's this guy's a stitch. I mean, he is a West Virginia.
He's funny.
All the way. He's funny, and he talks the West Virginia language.
In a corny way,
yep. And he would never leave, because for him, West Virginia is the greatest job in the world. The guy who's supposed to replace Jagodzinski, Steve Spaziani. That's the rumor, is that he would replace him. I don't know if they've announced that or not.
I've seen nothing on that yet.
Okay. He is a Boston College guy all the way. He would never coach anywhere else, I don't think. I mean, that's his dream job. All right? So what you're talking about is lifers, Dave Wannstedt, guys who would never coach. All of a sudden, no teams are ever talking about hiring your guy away, because it's understood that he's your guy and he's a lifer there. What an advantage you have if you can find a guy with that kind of loyalty. Boston College hired a guy who was going to bolt on him, and he was going to take 2 years of success, flush it down the toilet, leave the university. Well, that's okay. Bettering yourself is fine. Just so you understand that if you don't, you better get the job, because the door, you know, you can't come back here.
Right.
If he comes back to Boston College, how can they recruit anybody and sell them on the idea that the coach is committed to the program? How can they get alumni to donate, endowments or anything else to the athletic department with the idea that they're committing? Please commit to the university. If the coach won't commit to the university,
good point.
By the way, you mentioned that Meineke Car Care Bowl. We were watching it on the airplane ride up to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Okay. And we were talking about that receiver, Hakeem Nicks, that had all those catches.
Big
coming
game.
Out.
Yeah.
He's coming out.
Yeah. I think he's a senior.
Okay. No, I don't think so. I think he's a junior because they made an announcement that he was coming out yesterday.
All right.
It's going to be a great draft.
And I bring it up.
Yeah, they're coming out more and more. Okay.
I bring it up only because we had the conversation on the plane about him.
Yeah. He's a big
junior.
Guy.
He's a junior.
Okay.
Yeah, 6'1", 215.
Just had a sensational bowl game against West Virginia.
More and more guys are coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's going to start happening now.
Yeah.
And then if you had a year that you could have a Tennessee Titans-like draft, where you had traded down and got multiple picks, this would be the year that you'd like to have.
But, see, the problem is, if you got to draft that deep, no one's going to want to trade up. It makes it tougher.
What I'm saying is that if last year or the year before you had traded some picks to gain more this year, boy, would you be sitting pretty right now.
Yep.
I mean, you'd be in a perfect situation.
Let's grab a phone call. Bill is out at the beach with a thought on the draft. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Good.
Thanks for hanging in there and having the show for these last couple of weeks.
Sure.
I just wanted to ask Jeff. Jeff, it's obvious that you have the eye for NFL talent, and I was wondering if there was any consideration to having you in the draft room or as a consultant on free agent pickups for the Jaguars next year.
Well, you know, Gene Smith always calls me and asks me what my opinion is. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you say that, but Shaq did used to call you in after the season was over and just go over the roster.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, you know, those guys, I mean, really spend a ton of time. And it's not just one person. I mean, there's too many people for one person to look at. I mean, you got to have some kind of idea.
Well, they're always collecting as much information, good information, as they can.
And, you know, it would intrigue me, but boy, I don't think I'd want to do that. You know, I mean, just I don't want to work that hard, but I don't want to put the time in it.
So what people don't understand is you don't sit in the personnel office all day long, every day, just yakking about, I'd like to draft him. But what do you think about him? Would you like to draft him? No, I'd like to draft him. You don't do that. You're out on the road. You're in the back rooms of these university athletic departments trying to pour through tape that they've thrown all over the room. Other scouts have come in before you, and they've grabbed the tape, and they say, yeah, I know that guy in my division's coming in after me.
Hide it
and
over
they
here.
Rip it, you know, and they ruin it, and that kind of stuff. Now, that's old school.
Sure.
When it was really tape. Now it's, what, CDs probably?
It's all on
digital.
Computer. Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, you've got to actually go out and deal with people. You've got to find the information you need. You don't just sit back in a room and read Mel Kiper.
No. No, I mean that's a totally different world.
I read a story, a really good piece some years ago about the daily rigors of a scout on the road. And the first thing you learn to do when you're a scout is buy donuts. Because when you go to those athletic departments to ask them to avail them their services, you know, to you, you better bring donuts for the secretaries.
And it's not the not all college programs are the most open.
That's right. Some are great. They have some programs. For instance, Florida State will have a video viewing room. The equipment will be set up. You'll step in and you'll just plug in. And then you have to go to a place like Wichita Baptist.
Well, even Penn State's not real friendly. Jopa doesn't.
Penn
really...
State is does There's not. You are not
there.
Welcome.
Yeah,
they do not want pro scouts there.
Why is that?
Joe is a purist. He believes that college students should be allowed to.
Yeah, but having a pro scout come in and look at tape, how does that interfere with a college athlete?
He's just an old man.
Okay.
You know, he's just an old man set in his ways.
A guy like Urban Meyer invites him in because then he tells the recruits, look, I've got this room, and I make all your videotape available for these guys to come and look at you. And a guy like Jopa says, we're all capable.
You know that academic stuff, that study and get grades on it? He really believes that.
How much should he give to the library?
I mean, he really does. $7 million. He's endowed that university up to $7 million of his own money.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, you want to talk about a guy whose program it is.
I mean, he really believes in that crap. I mean,
that's good stuff. Oh, no, that's great.
Well, I mean, you're talking to a University of Virginia grad here now.
It's good stuff, and he's right to believe in it. But at the same time, by allowing pro, scouts to come in, that doesn't change
the scouts,
a student athlete's life. They don't even know about it.
The scouts complain. They really, really moan and groan about having to go there. Now they have a pro day. That's Joe's thing. Hey, I got a pro day for you. Come with the pro day and you can get all the information you need, but it's a lousy pro day. And the scouts hate having to get information on players at Penn State.
You know, the Jaguars defensive line coach Ted Monachino was the guy at Arizona State for Dirk Cutter that handled that, the liaison between the coaching staff, the athletic department, and college scouts that would come in. And we were standing in New Orleans last year and just, convincing about it, talking about guys, and I said to him, where are the best scouts? Who's the best scout in the National Football League? And he said, you might be surprised. And I said, who is it? And he said, Gene Smith. In terms of his approach.
Who they've got right here.
their approach in terms of on time, does what he says he's going to do, evaluates tape, is thorough in his evaluation, talks to coaches, asks the right questions. He said, I think they have the best guy on their staff right
but
now.
But now he's got to pick.
Yeah, it's a different world.
Evaluating ain't picking.
Yeah, it's a different world.
It's a different thing.
Let's take a break. We'll come right back after this. You're listening to Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Okay, this is the second to last two-hour show. We will go into a second hour this evening, and of course, next Wednesday, and then go to the one-hour version 2 weeks from tonight, January the 21st. Let's go to Wes down at the World Golf Village. Hello, Wes. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Hey, first of all, Vic, how's the backpack sprayer working?
Oh, my Christmas gift from 07.
Yeah, it's working all right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. What did I get this year? Hold on. Last year I got the Industrial Strength Garden Sprayer, and this year, what the heck? Oh, I got, this year I got a bunch of John Denver CDs. It came
That's a good gift.
Lovely. Yeah, absolutely
wow.
Love it. Yeah.
Great gift.
That's excellent.
You know, I got Bonnie, she loves her gift. I got her a box of green pans.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, make sure you got a shoe for the shoe polish.
Very romantic.
Yeah.
Hey, anyway, the reason I was calling is I'm not a trained expert or anything, but I don't see the big deal with Matt Stafford. I mean, you would think playing under Mark Richt that he would be a more polished quarterback with a higher completion percentage. I'm not impressed with him. What are your guys' thoughts on Matt Stafford, and how do you think he will project as a pro as compared to Sam Bradford?
I'll tell you what. I'm glad you brought it up because I have some definite thoughts on that. I watched the kid all year long, and here's what I've been battling. All of the scouts, all of the reviews say, this kid's got the size, he's got the arm. He's got the presence. He's got the pocket mobility. He's got all the tools. And I believe tools are what you're looking for. Forget about the intangibles. You're scouting.
You got to have the arm.
You got to have the goods. So I keep, hearing about the tools. And then I watch him play and I go, yuck. I don't see what's to like. But I stifle myself. I haven't allowed myself to express that because the scouts keep saying, oh, no, this guy's got the goods. So, let's not forget, there have been plenty of players who haven't had haven't been real successful on the college level and then have, blossomed in their pro careers. So, I see a guy who tends to be erratic, tends to miss the mark with his passes. And then you see him just absolutely, rifle one down the field and put it right on the numbers. But I understand what you're saying. If you watch him play, and he's got that great freshman receiver.
Right.
And he had a team around him that was picked as a preseason number one.
Right.
Yet
big running game.
He doesn't make you go, wow. Is that what you're thinking? Is that what you're saying, caller?
I think he's gone.
Okay.
He's still alive,
he doesn't make me go, wow. But the scouts, apparently he makes the scouts go, wow.
What'd you think of Sanchez?
Sharp in that bowl game.
Yeah, I was going to say he really looked good.
In my opinion, he's the best prospect I saw this year among the senior quarterbacks.
Okay. Now, the caller just mentioned Sam Bradford. Is Sam Bradford coming out? Have you heard that? He's only, what is he, a redshirt sophomore?
If he's coming out, when is his arm coming out? Because, if you want to talk about a guy who throws from under his chin, this guy is so low. I don't see it. I'm sorry. Would you like to take a guess as to who the greatest Big 8 or Big 12 quarterback in Big 8 or Big 12 history is relative to their NFL career? Would you care to guess who that would be?
All right. Now, we're talking Big 8 or Big 12? Because if it's Big 12, it's a Texas school.
No, pick them. Big 8 or Big 12, any player who has played in the Big 8 or Big 12 in the history of those conferences.
Who's the best one?
Who had the best NFL career of any Big 8 or Big 12 quarterback?
I mean, it's a very small list. There are just not many Big 8 quarterbacks, Big 12 quarterbacks that played at the pro level.
I don't have a clue. I don't follow the college game as much as you, Vic, so I...
Cordell Stewart.
I'm lost.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just Cordell
Stewart.
To say,
really? Who shouldn't have been a quarterback.
Right.
Now, John Hadle from Kansas
had a
great...
Yeah, but you're
going way back. No, I'll go way back.
Okay.
But that was the AFL. His days were in the AFL when it was right at the beginning. When
nobody recently, though.
No. Vince Young, I don't know if you like to throw him against the wall and see if it sticks. And whoop, there it goes, right down the wall.
Is the Graham Harrell kid, does he have any of the tools? I did not watch Texas Tech but once this year.
Guy I saw the other night, yeah.
Oh, McCoy.
Yeah.
Right.
Dink and dunk. Graham Harrell, yeah, I saw some things I like. But there's never been a Texas Tech quarterback who has ever made a dent in the NFL.
In Mike Leach's system, too, he's constantly in the shotgun. It's always that pass-happy system, so you don't know.
The guy at USC, Sanchez, that's the one.
Yeah. He looked really
good.
He's
got the arm. Looks like he's got the pedigree. I mean,
thing about Matt Leinart.
This guy's got
you
a much.
Don't know.
No, you're right. You're right. They did. Of course, the what they said about Leinart was, well, he doesn't have a great arm, but he knows where to go with the ball. Now Carson Palmer has been pretty good.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Sanchez has the arm. He's got all the arm you could possibly want.
What'd the Pike kid do to himself the other night in the Orange Bowl?
Well, he's got another year left.
So is he definitely going to stay? You would assume
He would stay now, unless he really lit it up in the pro day or in the. He wouldn't play in the postseason.
No,
that's right.
No, this is it. I mean, he has to make a decision.
No, he'll stay in now, and especially with Brian Kelly staying there, which it appears he will, because all the jobs are gone. He's got a year left. He's a big kid. I've heard him compared. I've heard him.
He's 6'6".
Referred to as a skinny Roethlisberger.
Okay.
He moves like him, and he's got lots of skill. But he had a bad game on a windy night, from what I understand.
Down in the Orange Bowl. Oh, yeah. Absolutely it was that.
Yeah, the ball got blown around.
He threw the ball well in some, and then on a couple of others he made bad decisions.
But he'll be one of the top guys next year, as you would expect of Bradford if he stays in. Well, how can he come out? He's only a sophomore.
Well,
right?
He could be a redshirt sophomore. That's the case with the big defensive. By the way, I was at the Gator Bowl for the very first time. Now that I'm, with CBS.
How was it?
I enjoyed it. I thought they did a good job putting a nice game on. And, I mean, there's so many bowl games now. Mm-hmm. You better have a nice game, an enjoyable game. The kid from Nebraska, 93, Ndamukong Suh, okay? Holy cow, you need to watch this kid.
Good player.
Wow. Dominant defensive tackle, but one of those redshirt sophomores.
I came to the Gator Bowl for the first time when Virginia played Texas Tech.
Last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Yeah.
Texas Tech won, so that wasn't so good. Yeah. But
I tell you, Nebraska's got a couple of talented guys.
How was the turnout?
Line. It wasn't sold out, but
it was good.
It was good, yeah.
They picked two teams to travel.
Yeah, so you saw lots of orange and lots of red around Jacksonville all week long, and that's always good for Jacksonville. So nice job by Rick Catlin and that crew. All right, we'll take a break. Hour number two to follow here on Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two. We've been all over the board this evening. You're welcome to join us and try and get us back on track, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, if you would like to be a part of the program. A couple of pieces of news. The most pressing is that the Cowboys announced today that Jody Camillus will be their special teams coordinator. Right. Obviously,
that's a big loss.
Yeah, it's a huge loss for the Jaguars. It's a big get for the Cowboys, and a big chance for Jody, who I think we've talked about wants to be a head coach someday, and this is an opportunity for him to be in a very visible position.
You have to be in one of those markets and on one of those teams that gets a lot of exposure. The Cowboys clearly are one of those teams.
And deep pockets.
Oh yeah.
John Harbaugh
was in Philly.
Changed the landscape of special teams coaching. Frank Gantz almost did it when he
went to the Chiefs.
Ascended from the special teams ranks to the head job in Kansas City. But then, he didn't have a good
chronic liar.
He didn't have a good run And that kind of cast a pall over special teams coaches for a while. Now, Harbaugh's had whirlwind success right away. All of a sudden, oh,
you can't.
That's the way to do it. You need one of those special teams coaches to go in there and whip the boys up with one of his talks. You know, so I mean, special teams coaches now on the heels of Harbaugh are hot.
Bobby April's a guy who's been around the league for a long time.
Yeah,
and I know he's well regarded.
I mean, this league, if a team smeared mud on their faces and won the Super Bowl, everybody would be smearing mud on their faces the next season.
No doubt. Yeah.
So Harbaugh is, you know, he's the coaching flavor of the year. One of the coaching flavors.
You said deep pockets. My understanding is that the Jaguars made a very fair offer to Joe D, but the Cowboys can come in and say, what do you want?
It's like the Yankees.
Yeah, they can come in and write a great big check.
There's no cap on the coaching staff.
It would be impractical for Wayne Weaver to do that every time a coach he liked got a big contract he couldn't match.
Well, so
doesn't make sense to throw the big money.
So how many openings are there now on head coach Jack Del Rio's staff?
I don't know.
Well, you know, you got one.
You got Joe.
Right.
Now, special teams coordinator.
And Greg Williams is likely not to be back. So you're going to be looking for a defensive coordinator and a special teams coordinator.
Now, and Tom Williams, the assistant defensive line coach, is now the new head coach at Yale. But my understanding is you got really heavy staves. And the NFL is going, as you've said many times, into a period of austerity. Teams are tightening down.
The United States is going into a period of austerity.
Yeah, you're right. So I guess my thought is you're going to see if some of these guys, assistant wide receivers coach Robert Prince, I heard he was involved in a couple of jobs. I mean, if he leaves, you're not going to get another assistant wide receivers coach. You're probably not going to get another assistant defensive line coach. If Nate Kazzer were to leave and go somewhere, you're probably not going to get another assistant special teams coach.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, the question now is Nate going to be elevated to Joe D's job?
I can't imagine. Just 1 year
or
in the NFL?
Or are you going to bring in a guy over him? Is someone from the staff going to be elevated to Greg Williams' job? Such as the head coach.
Sure seems like a plausible idea.
Okay. Could happen.
That he'll be his own guy.
That's a great promotion, head coach to defensive coordinator.
You know, you hear all the time about Tom Coughlin did it. He was his own offensive coordinator.
Why not?
You just don't hear that many times about head coaches being defensive coordinators.
How many of them are there? Well, Andy Reid?
Oh, you mean his offense or defense?
Yeah, I mean, well, it doesn't matter, offense or defense.
Yeah, there were guys who were...
Phillips did it in Dallas this year while he did take the title, but he took over the job of play calling.
Right.
Shanahan was head coach, offensive coordinator, and personnel director. Guy. He had no one to point the finger to.
Look at the head coaches. Shanahan technically had an offensive coordinator, Rick Dennison.
Yeah, but I mean, that was all just for
the title.
Well,
I guess that's why I'm saying is you got to really look and see which coaches did it.
Look around the league and look at the coaches who were a head coach and one of the coordinator positions. Mike Holmgren, John Gruden, in New Orleans, Sean Payton. He was the offensive coordinator.
Okay, but you're saying offense. Is there a defense?
No, there's no defense, but I mean...
Is there a reason why?
I don't think there's a reason why.
Is it more difficult than offense?
No.
I'll tell you what Jack ought to do. He ought to appoint himself defensive coordinator, and then at the beginning of every week, tell his staff that he would like them to coordinate a shutout. and then when the week is over and they've shut the other team out, you know, he gets all the credit, right?
I'm trying to count. I'm gonna take a little Vic break here and count up the teams that have a head coach that have really a dual role.
Did Cowher ever do that? You're talking about a guy who was a great
he was never coordinator. He was just head coach.
Any reason you see
Chuck Knoll was head coach? This is the truth now. He had a 7-man staff, including himself. He was the head coach, the offensive coordinator, and the special teams coach. We didn't call them coordinators back then. I'm dead serious.
What was the genesis of staffs growing from 7, 8, 9 men like they were to, I mean, what does Dallas have, 24 coaches?
Was the graduation from tape, from film to tape. See, it just made it easier for coaches to view tape or video. And there was a point where they went from projectors
to beta tape machines.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Which is what they had here in 95, 96.
Then they went tape nuts. Went tape freaking nuts. And it's all they did. You know, I can hear the whirl of those old machines. Back and forth. And that's when they needed more coaches, because more other teams would hire an extra coach, which meant that they were viewing more tape. So you had to view more tape. They were looking at more tape of you. dissecting you, getting a better read on you. You got to do the same to them. The more they looked at tape, the more coaches they needed to look at tape.
But you would think, with technology as advanced as it has been lately, okay, because the tape is no longer tape. It's now
all, CD. It's digital stuff.
It's all on a hard drive. It's all on a big stack of
and Jack
IBM
can call
things.
Up, any coach can call up and want to see every third and two run in the NFL.
Well, let me take you back a little farther then. Here's the genesis of this. There was a point after the merger where the league really got into standardization. And one of the standardizations was that each team would send tape of itself of its last three games to its opponent. Of course, when Al Davis's tape came, it had dirty girls, you know, naked girls all over it.
By the way, I think
it was
they still
torn
did that
up and it was spliced. It was all they spliced out the good plays, you know. I mean, but they got into the league got into the standardization thing. You had to send the tapes of your last three games to your opponent. That didn't exist previously. So now we got into, we're talking about the early 70s here. Now we're getting into the film age, the age of really film, of viewing film of your opponent. And that's when staff started to explode.
Let's grab one quick call before we take our break. Thanks for the history lesson, by the way. I mean,
that's the truth.
No, and people sometimes need to hear exactly why, because, you know, all of a sudden now you've got assistant defensive backs coaches. You've got assistant special teams coaches. Some teams have a kicking coach.
And you know what the reason for that was? In this day and age of free agency, we need more coaching to get the new players up to speed.
Yeah.
That was kind of the
I don't
the,
doubt it.
The reason why for
I,
a few years.
I don't doubt it. All right, let's grab Sheila with a thought. She's on the south side of town, and then we'll take our next break. Good evening, Sheila.
Hi. I just had a curious question, and watching all the games and they say what schools they're from, I see very few from Southern Cal, and I've always heard, I was wondering why they aren't more prominent.
There are a ton from USC.
The list is long.
If you want, I'll get it for you during the break, but it's a long list.
I don't know, is there any schools that have more in the pros? I mean, USC, I would have to think, would be top five.
Is there something else you want to say more directly?
No. I just have, in watching the games and watching the schools they're from, I see very few from Southern Cal.
Baselli's a pretty good player.
Excuse me?
Baselli was a pretty good player.
And I know that, but that I'm just it was just a curious thing.
How about OJ?
All right, hold on. I'm gonna give you a list here.
He can really cut through there.
No reasonable answer as to why, Sheila, there aren't more players announcing themselves, but NFL rosters are littered with USC players.
Chauncey Washington, we got one here.
No, Thomas Williams is here also.
There's another one.
Troy Polamalu.
Of course, you know.
Troy Polamalu, there's one.
If you want to find out exactly
Carson Palmer,
what
Matt
USC
Leiter.
Trojans are in the pros,
mm-hmm. Go to Google.
Who would want to promote that fact?
Jack Del Rio.
Pete Carroll. Go to PeteCarroll.com. Okay, here's your list. Matt Leinart and Tatsui Lutu at the Arizona Cardinals. Sam Baker of the Falcons. Dwayne Jarrett and Ryan Khalil of the Panthers. Keith Rivers, Carson Palmer, Frosty Rucker of the Bengals. Willie McGinnis, soon to be retired of the Browns. Sean Cody of the Detroit Lions. Ryan Powderell, the fullback of the Tampa Bay Bucks. Fred Davis, tight end, Redskins. Drew Radovich, offensive lineman, Vikings. John David Booty, quarterback. Mm-hmm. Kenechi Udeze, who I think is...
he's got a bad back?
Leukemia.
Yeah,
leukemia.
He's out for a while.
But he's supposedly coming back next year.
Matt Cassel, New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Reggie Bush, running back. Billy Miller, tight end. And Cedric Ellis, defensive lineman, New Orleans Saints. The Giants have Steve Smith, wide receiver. Sammy Knight, safety. Terrell Thomas, cornerback. Oakland Raiders have Justin Fargus. The Eagles have Winston Justice, offensive tackle, and Mike Patterson, defensive tackle. Troy Polamalu, the Steelers.
Patterson, by the way, is a big-time player.
Very good player.
Yeah. And he's, 5'11"?
Oh, man.
Kerry Colbert, wide receiver of the Seahawks. Lawrence Jackson, defensive end of the Seahawks. Lofa Tatupu, middle linebacker of the Seahawks.
Top player.
David Kirtman, fullback of the 49ers. And Chilo Recall, offensive lineman, also of the 49ers. Lendell White of the Tennessee Titans. And the Jaguars have Chauncey Washington and Thomas Williams.
So the total is 33 ex-Trojans on 19 rosters in the NFL.
And you got a couple of those guys like Paul Amalu are at the top of the league.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's caller. That's a lot of players.
That's amazing. PeteCarroll.com.
Are there any other schools you would like us to do a check on?
No. It was just that listening to all the schools, whoever I was watching play for, all the playoffs, I didn't catch any in the University of Southern California. I just was curious. That was all.
Jill, put it this way. When USC has a pro day, there will not be a scout missing from any NFL team at that pro day.
And this is probably, by the way, Reggie Bush had microfracture surgery on his knee. That's real bad. I mean, that could be career ending or career damaging for sure. This is probably going to be their best haul of players, this crop. I mean, they really have a collection.
And Ray Mallelugue is probably the best of the best.
Yeah, the linebacker.
Wow, is he good.
Now, I can tell you that I'm crazy about their talent. I'm not crazy about their culture. I thought they were a really dirty football team the other day. Clay Matthews' kid did something that was just...
It's all part of football.
Just
baby.
Vicious. But their talent is like no other college in America. Nobody has the players USC does.
Yeah, you want to put USC on the football field against either Florida or Oklahoma?
No, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to step in there.
I'd love to see that game. Come on, let's have one more game.
Just ask the scouts. The scouts will tell you. I've asked the scouts, and they've all said, to a man has said that nobody can match USC.
Right. No.
Sheila, we appreciate your phone call. We'll take a break and return. More to come. Jaguars this week on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. Welcome back, Jaguars, this week on a Wednesday evening. If you have not heard, this is one of two remaining two-hour programs. Tonight, next week, and then we go to the one-hour version. Our phone number this evening, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Vic Ketchman, Jeff Loggeman here, Joe Fortunato as well.
All right, let's have a little. I wanted to have a little Hall of Fame argument.
All right.
Because I know this is near and dear to, Vic's heart.
Yes, it is.
The NFL put out its list of Hall of Fame finalists, and on the list would be Bruce Smith, Rod Woodson, Shannon Sharp, John Randall. Okay, and joining them, obviously, Paul Tagliabue, Buffalo Bills owner Ralph Wilson. The senior committee has Atlanta defensive end Claude Humphrey and Bob Hayes.
I'm back on that list.
And then also Chris Carter, Andre Reed, Richard Dent, Russ Grimm, Bob Kuchenberg, Randall McDaniel, Derek Thomas. They take, 4 to 7 every year?
Okay, I've got definite thoughts on
it. You get five. Give me your five.
Five total, or where does Ralph Wilson fit? Because he's got to go in.
Five plus Ralph Wilson. You get one
five
senior.
Plus Ralph
Is
Wilson.
That about what they would normally take?
Usually it's four and plus one. I don't.
Then look at the classes. Hold on.
Well, I'll tell you this. I can tell you this. Rod Woodson is a layup. Yep. He and Bruce Smith
career
are
in.
He's on the NFL all-time team.
Right, yes. Rod Woodson was on the 75th anniversary team. Anybody on the 75th anniversary team is in right away.
Okay, last year they put six in.
Okay.
All right. The year before they put six in. The year before that they put four in.
You get five plus one.
Okay, Bruce Smith and Rod Woodson are in.
Okay.
Ralph Wilson is got to be in. In fact, he's starting to look better on the heels of being the jerk who didn't want to sign the CBA, remember?
Yeah. So he's your plus one.
By the way, they put seven in 2001.
It sounds like Ralph wasn't such a jerk, was he? Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
He was okay.
Russ Grimm, put him in. Somebody,
please.
That somebody from that Hogs line has got to get in the Hall of Fame.
And he's the best.
And he's certainly deserving of it. Great player. So I got Bruce Smith, Rod Woodson, and Russ Grimm.
Ralph Wilson.
Just put Ralph over to the side. Ralph is what Ralph is.
So you got three out of five.
Okay. I really favor Claude Humphreys, but I know he's not going to get in. I've had this conversation with some committee members who don't favor him. I really favor Claude Humphreys.
Here's why. Who's Claude Humphreys?
That's the problem. He was the best defensive end of his time. The problem was he played on bad teams, Atlanta and Philadelphia.
What year did he play?
In the 70s. I really favor Claude Humphreys. caught Humphrey, but he's not going to make it in. Is Damarney Dawson on that list?
He is.
He absolutely should get in, but he won't get in because Russ Grimm will get in, and they won't do another offensive lineman. But Damarney Dawson, he'd be my fourth. So I got Bruce Smith, Rod Woodson, Russ Grimm, Damarney Dawson, and I need a fifth guy.
You got Cortez Kennedy also on that list.
No. He's not a Hall of Fame player.
No.
Derek Thomas. There's your other one.
He's not on the list.
Derek Thomas
is?
If he is, he's not on my list here.
Derek Thomas? Just read him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here, I'll pull it up. But you read his name.
Did I?
Yeah, he's on there.
Derek Thomas and Chris Carter are snubs. Jerry Kramer, Chris Carter, Derek Thomas are guys that people have been complaining about for years, haven't been in the Hall of didn't get in the Hall of Fame.
Well, Derek's only been dead a couple of years.
Well, he had some drug issues there at the end?
Well, no.
There were circumstances surrounding his car accident.
But there's question marks.
Okay.
About some things, but there's nothing that people say.
You don't think that's hurting him?
His deal was that it hurt him in Kansas City is that he had several children by several different mothers and got a bad off the field rap.
Yes.
And his whole career he had had a wonderful on the field, off the field rap. And then at the end, once he died, there was a huge mess with his estate in Kansas City.
I'm a big Derek Thomas fan and getting him in the Hall of Fame, and for some other reasons too. There's a guy whose father, I believe, was killed in Vietnam.
Was a fighter pilot.
And I think there's a story there that I want to have in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, tremendous. I think it's about the Hall of Famous. He was in one of those schools also in Miami where he grew up that was almost a prison high school. Because he was a juvenile delinquent.
Okay, so there's my guy.
What about
Jeff?
Bob Kuchenberg? I mean, you got Damarney Dawson on the list.
But aren't,
tremendous player.
But there are other guys from that Miami line in the Hall of Fame.
Well, the center got in 2 years ago. Stevenson's
from another era.
Yeah, but
Kuchenberg was before Stevenson. Who's in the Hall of Fame from that? Is Larry Little in the Hall of Fame? Get the book. Larry Little, Jim Langer, who were that? Those were linemen on that team.
But no on John Randall.
No, John Randall doesn't. He's not a Hall of Fame player, in my opinion. I like the guys I gave you: Bruce Smith, mm-hmm. Rod Woodson, Russ Grimm, Damarney Dawson, and Derek Thomas. Those are my guys.
Larry Little is in.
Larry Little is in.
And Jim Longer is in also.
So Longer and Little is in. You can't put Kuchenberg in, too. Okay. That would be three guys from the same line. You don't even have one from the Hogs. You've got to have one from the Hogs before you have three from that Dolphins line.
Why not Shannon Sharp over Damarney Dawson?
Wide receiver in sheep's clothing. You know, he's just...
Okay.
There's the fact why can't I think of his name? Tony Gonzalez has broken all of his records.
Plus also,
already.
Jeff. They've got to stop with the receivers, or they're going to turn this into the Hall of Fame of receivers. They've got to get some linemen in there.
Without a doubt.
They've got to get some linemen in there. That's why I'm favoring Grimm and Dawson in the same year.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with more. 1/2 hour remains of this fine radio program on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Rolling right along here. 23 minutes left in our program, and you can join us, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. The Bob Hayes situation, obviously he's a native of Jacksonville, and his name comes up every year.
Yeah,
people wonder why he's not getting more, especially from the senior side of things.
People say he changed the game.
That's Paul Zimmerman's thing. Paul Zimmerman has been a big backer of Bob Hayes and the change the game thing. A lot of the guys on the committee just are tired of hearing about the change the game thing, and here it goes like this. You know, long before Bob Hayes came along, and you know, there were players such as Paul Warfield who were blowing by defenders and catching deep passes. What about Unitas to Jimmy Orr? Jimmy Orr wasn't a deep receiver. How about Buddy Dow? No one even knows who Buddy Dow is. I'm sure he's listening to this. Buddy Dow was a great, I think he was from Texas, was a great deep receiver during, you know, his heyday, the early 60s. How about Homer Jones? Do you know what Homer Jones invented?
No.
He was a deep receiver for the Giants, a real speed receiver. He invented the spike. He was the first guy to spike the ball in the end zone. His signature was the long touchdown pass and then spike the ball. Someone from the team near and dear to your heart, the Washington Redskins, mm-hmm. Roy Jefferson, mm-hmm. was a deep receiver. So it's not as though the game never had deep receivers. You know, I mean, you go back to Dante Lavelli in Otto Graham's days. It's not as
The thing that I always wonder about is that they act like Bob Hayes was the reason. I mean, all of a sudden, nobody ran deep, and then Bob right. started doing it, and teams were like, oh, you can run deep.
Here, Brian, if you would, please.
And I'm right where you tell me to go.
Go to profootballreference.com and look up Don Hudson, all right? Look up Don Hudson.
I know exactly where
H-U-T-S-O-N.
You're going. Oh, yeah.
And give
one
me,
of the greats.
Give me his stats. It's not as though the guy invented speed. Speed had always been a part of the game, and the deep ball had always been a part of the game. So that's
has he ever been close?
Yeah, oh, yes. He's been close on several occasions. The thing that really has hurt Bob Hayes, rest his soul, is in the biggest game of his life, the Ice Bowl game, Cowboys against the Packers in Green Bay. I'm sure people know, below zero. What was it, 15 below, 13 below zero. He put his hands in his pants and tipped the plays. If it was a running play, he didn't come off the line of scrimmage.
He kept his hands in his pants to keep his hands warm.
Yes.
And the defenders looked at him and said,
right. he was tipping
he's
the
not
plays.
Running a route.
He's right.
It's a run.
He put his hands in his pants and stayed on the line, and he was tipping the plays. And the old-timers said, uh-uh, we're not voting you. Well, now he's in an old-timers committee posture, and there are still some of these old-timers.
They remember that.
Yeah, and there's not many of them left. Sid Hartman from Minnesota would be one of them. But I think the Cameron Snyders and those guys are gone. You know, and please forgive me if I mention the name of someone who's deceased. I mean, I don't have
mm-hmm.
instant recall. But most of the old-timers are gone, but there are some left who remind everyone. And these guys, you know, they barter. Hey, I'll vote for your guy. If you vote for my guy or don't vote for my guy, that sort of thing. The big thing I think you're going to see with the Hall of Fame voting in the next, over the next few years at least, is you're going to see them get away from wide receivers. I think that's going to make it real tough for Chris Carter to get in. The Hall of Fame is starting to become the Hall of Fame of receivers. Just way too many getting in. They've got to start getting some defensive people
and linemen
and offensive linemen in the Hall of Fame. It's what is it? Is there only like something like 13 defensive players in the Hall of Fame or something? It's
just for your edification, the numbers between Hudson and Hayes.
Yeah,
Hudson had 488 catches for 7,991 yards and 99 touchdowns. Hayes had 371 for 74-14 and 71 touchdowns. But the thing that's most striking, Don Hudson played from 1935 to 1945 when they really didn't throw the ball
right.
as much. And Bob Hayes played from 65 to 75 when the passing game was starting to really take off.
But the point I really wanted to make with Hudson is the
30 years before, he was the deep threat.
Hudson also played defense, by the way. But the thing with Hudson is that most of his catches were deep balls. You know, they didn't throw short in those days.
Right, right.
I mean, when they threw the ball, they threw the ball.
Well, and that's the point I was making.
He
had deep numbers 30 years before Bob started playing in the NFL.
Nobody invented speed. Nobody introduced speed to the game. I mean, it's always been a part of the mm-hmm. game.
How is the position breakdown? I was looking for it.
Jeff, would you do me a favor? If you want, you give me the fact book, I'll count them up. But the number of defensive players in the Hall of Fame is unbelievably
right
low.
While you're doing that, let's grab Andy from Arlington, who's been holding on the line. Hello, Andy. Welcome to the program.
I'll give you the numbers, Vic.
Okay.
Happy New Year, guys. I had
Happy
a quick
New
question
Year.
About two guys that might make Mr. Catchman seem kind of interested. Jim Plunkett and Tom Flores.
Uh-huh. I have long been a fan of Jim Plunkett being elected to the Hall of Fame, and I'll tell you why. Number one, he's got two Super Bowl titles.
Right.
Yes.
Forget the stats. Forget that crap. You know, we saw stats. What stats do for you this last Saturday?
His story, his personal story. Is that it?
First of all, you got a great personal story. Parents who are blind. He was born to parents who are blind.
Yes, that's true.
And it's just a fantastic story of a person rising to the ranks of 2-time Super Bowl champion quarterback. Now, we've got a quarterback in the Hall of Fame, Dan Fouts, and it sickens me. It sickens me. Because all this guy ever did was throw postseason interceptions. But we fell in love with the stats. And he's in there on the basis of all these yards and in regular season passer ratings. And I think he has either 14 or 15 postseason interceptions. He's got, I think, every big game he ever played, he threw up on himself. And you take a guy like Jim Plunkett, who only ever, and if you would, Brian, look up Jim Plunkett's postseason record and compare it to Dan Fouts' postseason record. Jim Plunkett is a guy I would love to see get in the Hall of Fame because of what he did in the postseason. I'll tell you another guy who is on the edge and probably can't put him in because he didn't get the one. But Ken Anderson has great stats, and he came very close to a Super Bowl title and came, you know, a yard from it. If Pete Johnson gets that yard on the goal line, if he doesn't get stopped on the goal line, the Bengals beat the 49ers in Super Bowl, I think, 16, and Ken Anderson is in the Hall of Fame because he has one of the top two or three passer ratings in NFL history.
How about Dick LeBeau?
Dick LeBeau, we've talked about him. In my opinion, deserves to be in because he's got a ton of interceptions and he's been probably the greatest defensive coordinator in history.
That should get him in.
Another guy, there's lots of these guys.
He's not even on the list.
Jack Butler, I believe, was the best tackler probably in history. He's got, I think, 51 career interceptions at a time when they didn't throw the ball. He was also the president for 40 years of the first ever NFL scouting combine, Blesto. I mean, if John Madden gets in based on one Super Bowl win and the sales of his video game, then why isn't someone like Jack Butler in the Hall of Fame based on his playing career and his career as an NFL executive?
All right, let me give you Plunkett real quick.
Okay.
10 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, playoff, right? 80.7 passer rating, however.
Record.
Here's the thing. In the Super Bowl, he had 4 touchdowns and no interceptions in his 2 Super Bowl games,
uh-huh,
and won both of them.
Overall postseason record?
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 2.
8 and 2, okay.
Going to Fouts.
Pretty good.
That's a crunch time championship round quarterback. Now look at Fouts. What you're going to see is a terrible postseason.
Yeah, this computer's a little slow. So
just to give you a little idea, Vic, about numbers, do you want modern era or all combined?
Everything. How many defensive players in the NFL are in the Hall of Fame?
Well, let me just give you an idea here. If you go pre-modern era running backs and quarterbacks, there's 24. And then you have 25 modern era halfbacks, fullbacks. So that's now 49. Modern era quarterbacks is 23, so that's 72.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add ends, okay? That's 7, that's 79, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then add 19 to that, that's a 98.
Okay.
Plus another modern era tight end, so that's 105.
Okay, and how many players total?
That's 105 right there total. And then you have the offensive linemen and both of them, you're 138, 148, 150, 150, 154 offensive players.
And how many defensive players?
26 plus 17 plus 19. There you go.
50, is that 50?
Let's see, 36, 50, 62.
62 defensive and how many offensive? 100 and what?
I don't know. I forgot what I said.
You said 150?
You feel like we're a couple of interns working for him tonight, both of us working the computer?
I mean, you can see the imbalance.
No, I understand. And let me give you Fouts postseason, and then we'll take our final break. 3-4 record. 12 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, but here's the thing. In 4 losses,
he had 10, 14 interceptions. Two with five interceptions. He had two playoff games with five interceptions.
I can't put a guy into the Hall of Fame who isn't a champion, or at least didn't show me that he's got the championship
Amen,
stuff.
Brother.
Dan Marino. I know people are going to go right away to Dan Marino, but Dan Marino, his postseason record isn't that bad. He did get to a Super Bowl. Unfortunately, ran up against Joe Montana. But yeah, but that's the rap on Marino. He never won a Super Bowl, you know. So I acknowledge that, but it's tough to overcome his overall contribution. In the case of Plunkett and Fouts, I think it clearly favors Plunkett.
It does. The numbers bear it out. We need a break. Our final one of the evening. We'll come back and wrap the program up after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
7 minutes to wrap this baby up and put it away for another week. Then we'll do one more two-hour version next Wednesday, and then retreat to the off-season confines of the one-hour show. Sexton, Logan, and Catchman Fortunato with you, 355-NFL-1. Have we exhausted all of your material on the Hall of Fame? Is there anybody else on that list that needs to be considered or dumped?
I just wish that Dick LeBeau would be on the list. To me, it's baffling that he's not even mentioned.
Not even by the old-timers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How can he not be on?
I mean, 50 years
John Madden gets in
right.
As coach, broadcaster, the face of Madden, the video game.
The businessman.
Why shouldn't there be an assistant coach who is a great player that may have merit to be in
as a player.
Just as a player?
I'll tell you why.
And 50 years, by the way, in the NFL, 50.
Because there's no assistant coach in the Hall.
I can tell you why he's not in as a player, other than being a safety. He's not in because he played with Dick Nitrane Lane, who's in, and Lem Barney, who's in. Hey, wait a minute. If we put a third one in,
yeah,
then
but
the,
you got,
then
you
the
got,
Lions
you got
the
add on
secondary history.
You got to add on the fact that the guy has been one of the top coordinators ever. And as you said, maybe the best.
Maybe the greatest defensive coordinator in history.
I mean, he's dedicated his life to the game, and there's no assistant coaches. Put him in as an assistant coach then.
There's never been one.
Why shouldn't there be?
That would then it would really. I mean, you would
if you could put in Vic Ketchman, five assistant coaches,
mm-hmm.
okay, that were never head coaches. Who would they be?
Oh, Jeff, I'd have to. Well, you start with LeBeau, clearly. Well, no, LeBeau was a head coach in Cincinnati.
He was.
He was an interim guy that they gave the head job to at the end of the year. So
okay,
he's out.
Now wait a minute.
I know one right off the bat. There's no question, and every coach would agree. I can think of two right off the bat, and every coach would agree. Tom Moore.
Yes.
All right. And a guy you may not know, Dick Hoke.
Oh, I know Dick Hoke.
Okay. 1973 to 2007 is how many years?
24.
It's a long time.
34.
34 years coaching one position, mm-hmm. running backs. He turned down coordinator job after coordinator
Pittsburgh
job.
Steelers.
Yeah, and turned down a head coaching job with the Pittsburgh Maulers of the old USFL okay. because he liked the job he had. He liked coaching running backs. And imagine, 34 years. 34 years coaching.
Who hired him?
Chuck Knoll.
Okay.
And then he stayed with
Cower.
With Cower.
Joe Walton, Bill
and,
Cower.
And Tomlin. Right. Did he have a year with Tomlin?
I thought he retired.
No, he retired when Tomlin came on. That's when. So you're talking about 34 or 35 years. No, he was 72. 35 years coaching one position for one team.
That's
two guys. Who else?
He also played in the NFL.
Yeah, well, he was a real good running back right. in the 60s. Who else? That's good. If you give me some time, I'll think of other guys.
I think
Monty Kiffin.
Monty Kiffin.
All right.
Been around a long time.
Absolutely.
Bucks, Jets, where else? Minnesota.
If we had a guy here, let's not skip anybody here. If we had a guy here.
defensive coordinator? Dom Capers?
He's been a head coach.
Okay.
A couple times.
I can't think of anybody who's been through here that...
That's a good question.
You've had good coaches, but I don't know that you've had a Hall of Fame candidate.
I mean, I can get more. I guarantee I can get more, but I'd have to.
Anybody on Don Shula's staff that comes to mind?
Well, I mean,
George Young.
You talk about the general manager.
Yeah, George Young was a damn good line coach,
and then became general manager that built two Super Bowl teams.
But I mean,
I think that's a good. But
his fame is as a personnel manager.
Isn't that a good question? Why not an assistant coach?
It's a great question, and you could go back through it, and I guarantee you there have been lots of guys like Tom Moore. How does a Tom Moore get passed up as a head coach? How does a Monty Kiffin get passed up as a head coach? Dick Koch had his chances, didn't want it. I'll give you another guy, a great, great coach, Dan. Bad Rad.
I knew you were going Radakovich. Mm-hmm. You told a lot of stories about him through the years.
Got never a head coach. Probably.
He was in New York for a little while.
Yeah. One of the two, three greatest offensive line coaches in history. Nuts, but really nuts.
That's where he gets Bad
really,
Rad from.
Really nuts. Well, you know the story about.
Oh, he had a lot of
you've
stories.
You've told it.
Yeah. Falling asleep
can you tell
while the
on
film
the
was running.
Funniest story I've ever heard in all the years covering football. Trying to wrap it up, we'll tell it next week.
Are we out of time already? Okay.
He was a mad scientist, and he was the film. He was crazy about film projectors. He drives home to a neighborhood that's row houses kind of place, and he pulls into the driveway. He's got the cigarette dangling out of his mouth, and the head is down. He picks up his projector. He walks in the front door, sits down in the kitchen, opens the projector up on the kitchen table, and starts showing film against the wall. He's sitting there, smoking a cigarette, watching film. All of a sudden, he sees that there's a woman and a little kid standing next to him, looking at him. He looks at the woman, he looks at the little kid, looks around the house, packs up the projector and leaves. It was the wrong house.
That is nuts. One final thought. Tom Coughlin, Hall of Fame? Or does he need the second Super Bowl championship?
If he wins another one, it's a lock.
Because I just saw a picture
it's
of
a
him, which I thought I'd
it's
ask.
A lock. If he wins another one, it's a lock.
Has there ever been a head coach that's won two Super Bowls that is not in?
That's a good question.
Besides Shanahan, obviously.
And Jimmy Johnson.
Shanahan.
Does Jimmy Johnson deserve to go? And you said a while.
No,
I remember
coach,
we talked about it. You said no.
Didn't coach long enough. There's got to be longevity. Longevity, in my opinion, is it has to go hand in hand with success.
That'll do it for our show. Thanks, fellas. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, brought to you by North Florida's labor unions, such as the Association of Firefighters in Duval, Nassau, Clay, and St. John's Counties, and Community First Credit Union, the home of First Down Touchdown for teachers. Jaguars This Week is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.